We've had a week off because of the kids' Christmas service. It's not a good Sunday to start a new class because there's traveling and such. So what we did last year is we just kind of had a fun, lighthearted Christmas hymn study. And it was well received, got good comments on it. So this year we're doing kind of the same thing with a twist. This year, as you will recall, last Sunday, the kids' Christmas service was centered around the new hymns and the supplement. And that was an ulterior motive type thing going on. It wasn't just, hey, let's hear them sing some pretty new songs. But, you know, when the kids sing something, everybody kind of says, oh, wasn't that neat? That was kind of nice. You know, the kids make it, the kids singing is infectious. You know, they sing it and we go, oh, that sounds kind of neat. We'd like to sing that too. So I kind of want to build on last Sunday's service. We did in today's service, hymn 706. They taught us that hymn last week. We sang the final stanza and then we repeated it this Sunday so that we just reinforce it and it becomes a part of what we know as a congregation. We're going to do some of that. We're going to repeat a song or two from last Sunday in this Bible class, beyond the one that we sang in church today. We're also going to look at a couple songs that we didn't sing that are in the Advent or Christmas or New Year or Epiphany section and get acquainted with those as well. And just to see if we can add some more to the repertoire of what St. Mark's congregation knows and is able to sing. If we have some time at the end, I might use you as my test group and ask you about some lesser known Christmas hymns, or maybe I should say hymns that were new to the current hymnal. And do St. Mark's members know some of these hymns that I have not been picking for fear of picking hymns you don't know? But maybe you do know them. Pastor Tackmeyer left behind a copy of the supplement that listed all the hymns that he had picked, so I always know what you know out of here. But there wasn't a hymnal that said, these are the hymns that I picked. So I don't necessarily know the hymns in the hymnal that you know versus the ones that you don't know. And sometimes we sing one like 44 and I discovered that you don't know it. And I say, okay, mental note, got to remember that for next year. So that's just kind of how it plays out. So this gathering can be very helpful for me as the pastor who plans worship and selects the hymns just to not only teach you new ones, but to find out what you do know. So if we have time for that at the end, we may do that. You've had this handout sheet that you picked up when you came in. The supplement has an organist edition, and the organist edition serves a couple of different purposes. It's got the liturgy stuff and the psalm stuff in the front of the book, that the organist or pianist has to play, which isn't in this edition. It also has some special musical arrangements. So on Sunday, last Sunday, we sang Prepare the Royal Highway, and you heard the handbell parts that were added to that hymn. That came along with the organist edition. There's some trumpet parts or other instrumental parts. And then there's also information about every hymn. And so what this sheet is just the straight information out of the organist edition of the supplement. There's nothing fancy about it. There's nothing deep about, you know, some type of study guide that we've got here today. This is just straight information about each hymn, hopefully to give you a little bit of background in each one, and then we'll try singing it, and we'll see how it goes. And you can, you know, we can even play thumbs up and thumbs down. If you like it, let me know. We'll save it for next year. If you don't like it, let me know, and I won't pick it. So nothing wrong with... nothing wrong with liking or not liking a particular hymn. So it's good for me to get some feedback from you. So we're going to grab these and have your study guide in the other hand. We're going to open up with the very first hymn in the supplement, hymn 701. Zion at your shining gates. This is one that we haven't sung since I've been here. We never sang at my old church either. So let me tell you a little bit about it. Let me sing a stanza for you, and then you tell me if you know it. And even if you don't, we'll try to sing through some stanzas together. You'll see the text information there, and you'll notice that stanza 2 was added by somebody, Michael Schultz. Michael Schultz is the pastor in our church body who is now the director of our new hymnal project. This is not the new hymnal anymore. It's 20 years old. The new hymnal that's planned to come out in 10 years. The project, the work for that has already started, and there are various pastors around the synod who are on different committees and groups to help develop this new hymnal. Pastor Schultz is the pastor in charge of it. He added a stanza to this hymn. And once we look at the words, you might figure out why he added a stanza. But the main words were written by Benjamin H. Kennedy, born 1804 in Summerhill, England. His father was an Anglican pastor. The Anglican Church in America is called the Episcopal Church, although the Episcopal Church is not quite like the Anglicans around the world in that their theology has kind of gone south, whereas Anglicans around the world, maybe that hasn't quite happened to the same degree. A little bit of background there. He attended St. John's College in Cambridge, later appointed there as professor of Greek, so Pastor Schmidt's dad would like him. He received an honorary Doctor of Divinity by royal mandate, so when the king says you're a Doctor of Divinity, I guess that's a good thing. And then there's the tune also. If you ever notice, both here and on the study guide and on the bottom of the page in the hymns, in the bottom right corner, there's some words in all caps. That's the name of the melody. All the melodies have their own name because a lot of times more than one hymn will use the same melody. And so you have to have a reference system. And so all the melodies get their own name. Sometimes it's the name of the original hymn in German for a lot of German Lutheran hymns. But a lot of newer hymns now, the person who writes the melody has to come up with a name for it. So Covenant Church is the name of the melody that we will sing. That is by K. Lee Scott, who is a fairly prominent composer of our day. Published over 300 compositions, many hymns, many major works for musical ensembles. I mentioned earlier that Pastor Schultz from our church body wrote stanza 2. Just look at the flow of the stanzas. Zion, at your shining gates, see the King of glory waits. Haste your monarch now to greet, spread your palms before his feet. Sounds a lot like, not Advent, but Palm Sunday. Anybody know why that is? You have to be pre-Vatican II to know this. I know you say, what does the Roman Catholic Church have to do with us? Vatican II made a new lectionary, a new system of readings on Sunday morning. And before Vatican II came along and made the new system of readings, or the new lectionary, which we've pretty much adopted, the first Sunday in Advent was always the Palm Sunday story, because the idea was Jesus is coming. He came into Jerusalem, and he's coming as a baby, and he's going to come again. So there's a lot of Palm Sunday imagery in Advent hymns for that historical reason. And so that's why you see it there. Now Pastor Schultz adds stanza 2. Christ, your kingdom comes today as we hear your spirit say, God's own son, a sacrifice, sinner's way to paradise. So that was added by the Wells pastor. Now read the rest of the stanzas. Come and give us peace within, loose from us the bands of sin, take away the heavy weight laid on us by greed and hate. Give us grace your yoke to wear, give us strength your cross to bear, make us yours in deed and word, yours in heart and life, O Lord, so when you shall come again, etc. What does stanza 2 add? Yeah, I mean, it makes something a lot more clear, doesn't it? What is, in a word, what does stanza 2 add? Yeah, or gospel. Yeah. It's not really a gospel. Now, does every hymn have to proclaim the doctrine of the gospel? We love to close with praise God from whom all blessings flow. Does that close with the gospel? Not necessarily. It closes with the mention of the Trinity, but not necessarily with the gospel. But it's not a bad hymn. You know, it's like ending a meal with dessert. You know, not a bad thing. But if the whole meal is dessert, you got a problem. If every hymn fails to preach the gospel, you know, that's probably not a good thing over time. So Pastor Schultz takes this Advent hymn. He says, this is not bad, but we're going to refocus it by adding a stanza. So I think that works. I think it works real well. Shannon's upstairs. She's going to be on the piano for us. Let me sing stanza 1 for you. Then you tell me if you know it, and then we'll sing some stanzas and get acquainted with it ourselves. Here's a D.
Zion, at your shining gates, see the King of glory waits. Haste your monarch now to greet, spread your palms before his feet.
Familiar? Not a single hand. Except the WLC student and the mother-in-law. Everybody else, no hands. So, all right. Well, let's give it a shot. Sing stanza 1 with me. I'll sing with you. Here we go. And Zion at your shining gates, see the King of glory waits. Haste your monarch now to greet. Spread your palms before his feet. Two, Christ your kingdom comes today. As we hear your Spirit say, God's own Son a sacrifice, sinners way to paradise. Five, so when you shall come again, Lord of angels and of men, we with all your saints shall sing loud hosannas to our King. What do you think? All right, we can keep it. All right, I see some thumbs up. All right, so somebody's got to be my recorder here. 701 makes the cut here. You don't have to like them all, you don't have to sing them all, but it's good to, you know, it's good to test some new things out and see what you see if we can make some new additions. 703, the kids introduced us to this. I think you've done this in the past somewhat, but you've probably done just the refrain and not the melody of the verses. And that's actually a good way to learn this hymn, is to have somebody else sing the melody. That's what of the verses. That's what the kids did for us on their service last Sunday. My soul in stillness waits. You know another hymn that's very similar to this hymn. O come, Emmanuel. It's very, very similar to this particular hymn. They both have the same background. I'm going to take you to the medieval church. The medieval church, if you are a monk, you are worshiping nonstop. You celebrated the daily office. The daily office, office comes from the Latin word officium, which means service. And you had a whole mess of daily services. And you know the titles of these. The first service of the day was often called Matins, or morning prayer, or morning praise. The second to last service of the day was called Vespers, or evening prayer. The last service of the day is called Compline, or prayer. We call it prayer at the close of day now. So you'd be attending these seven or eight daily services in your monastery chapel, and doing the same thing at all of the services. All these services develop certain songs and traditions. Morning praise, you always sang the Te Deum. Lutherans know what the Te Deum is. We praise you, O God, we acclaim you as Lord, all creation worthy. Right? You know how that works, right? If you've been floating around the Lutheran church for a while, you've sang that Anglican chant to those words for a long, long time. We haven't used it here in a while, but it may ring some bells for some of you. Evening prayer, or Vespers, you always sang what song from Luke chapter 1? The song of Mary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. That's always been associated with Vespers. Prayer at the close of day, you sang the song of Simeon. In peace, Lord, you let your servant now depart. We have a couple different versions of that. So at Vespers, you sang the song of Mary. And what you would do, though, is you wouldn't sing it to a nice, pretty 20th century American melody. You would sing it to the same chant melody, service after service after service after service after service. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That was the chant melody that they used for the Song of Mary over and over and over and over and over again for centuries. Bach even wrote music, organ works to that chant melody to be performed in worship. So to add a little variety to the Song of Mary right before Christmas, they would add, this is really novel, ready for this? They would add a refrain. Ooh, yeah. They had a refrain. The refrain had a really fancy name called an antiphon, but it was just a refrain. Our psalms in the hymnal, they did this ancient practice of adding an antiphon, a refrain, to make it a little more interesting. And on the 7 days before Christmas Eve, there was a refrain text for every day. And these refrains or antiphons are called the O antiphons, because the first word was always O, followed by an Old Testament title for Jesus. And you see the list on page 1. So December 17th, the monks showed up for evening prayer or Vespers, and when they sang the Song of Mary, they started it and ended it with a statement of praise to Jesus that began, O wisdom. And then the next day it was, O Adonai, O Lord and ruler, O Radix Jesse, O root of Jesse. So the Latin is there along with the English translation. And the last one, December 23rd, the day before Christmas Eve, was O Emmanuel. And that's the basis for the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. There's only four stanzas in our hymnal, but the original has seven. And each stanza is based on one of these antiphons or refrains. You just see the first, two words, or first word or two. But it was a complete sentence. It was a little mini prayer that began and ended the Song of Mary. So someone comes along and says, let's write a hymn based on these refrains. And then in the 20th century, the same thing comes again. Marty Haugen, is that a name that rings a bell for you if you're a musical person? He's written a lot of 20th century church music. He writes primarily for the Roman Catholic Church, but we have thoroughly enjoyed stealing his stuff. Because it's liturgical stuff. It's psalms that we, psalms with refrains. It's settings of the songs of the liturgy. So we are happy to steal his stuff because it fits what we do in our services. So he wrote this melody and essentially tweaked the words of the O antiphons. And so there's this refrain that the kids taught us last week. For you, give me a D. For you, O Lord, my soul in stillness waits. Truly my hope is in you. You sang that a bunch of times, so you probably know that. You heard the kids sing some of the verses. Let's try to sing a few just so that we get acquainted with the verses. Let's do, we'll come right in on the first refrain, and we'll sing, how about verses 1 and 2, along with the refrains that follow that. So write the refrain. Here we go. 1. For you, O Lord, my soul in stillness waits. Truly my hope is in you. O Lord of light, our only hope of glory, your radiance shines in all who look to you. Come light the hearts of all in dark and shadow. For you, O Lord, my soul in stillness waits. Truly my hope is in you. We'll sing one more, stanza 2. O spring of joy, rain down upon our spirits. Our thirsty hearts are yearning for your word. Come make us whole, be comfort to our hearts. For you, O Lord, my soul in stillness waits. Truly my hope is in you. If you're going to pick that for a service in Advent, when would this more likely to be showing up? There's not a theological answer. I'm just asking you.
Maybe one of the evening Advent services?
Doesn't this kind of feel like evening prayer? Mm-hmm. Just feel a little more. What are your thoughts on it? Good, bad, or ugly?
I like it.
Okay. You like it with the children. It's kind of, I realize that we've got a fairly musically sophisticated congregation here, a lot of good sight readers here. But there's, even though we probably could sing the verses, it's kind of nice to do the back and forth refrain verse thing. It's simple, it's beautiful. It adds a little interesting twist to the performance of the hymn. If it's done during the distribution, what's kind of cool, we've got some communion hymns that do this too. You can, if we do verse-refrain communion hymns and you have a soloist singing the verses, By the time you've sung the refrain a couple times, you could be standing in the aisle waiting to come up to communion and still sing along. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I'm singing along up in front just because I like to sing. So, you know, nothing wrong with that at all. So that's kind of neat about these hymns is that they also work well during communion. Right.
So that's the only challenge.
It does help if you've got somebody. Even, I shouldn't give these secrets away, but I do this. The pastor's sitting up there looking kind of disinterested as the hymn is being introduced, and then it's time to sing. It works. I went to a workshop several years ago in San Francisco on for choir music. And the guy leading the workshop talked about how he teaches cantors in the Catholic Church who stand up in front and lead the psalms and the psalm of the day and the verse of the day from the front with the congregation participating. And he teaches them to look almost a little insecure until it's time for the people to sing. And it's amazing how all of a sudden everybody just kind of follows suit. So there's some truth to having a cue or even the piano player or the organist revving it up at that particular moment if that's possible. Or the choral introduction, whatever it happens to be, there is some sense of now that can benefit singers on a hymn like that. So that's a point well taken. Other thoughts? Seems like we can keep this one. All right, sounds good. Two for two, that's not bad. Batting 1,000. Let's go to 705. So remember, the season of Advent, the way we look at it, we're not just getting ready to celebrate Jesus' birth, his first coming, but we're very practical as we celebrate, as we get ready for Christmas, we're really getting ready for his second coming. So there's always that overlap of the two, especially in the first three Sundays of Advent and then in the hymns that we sing. Taking a look at the sheet, German Lutheran poet Jochen Klepper wrote this text for this Advent hymn. His life was filled with hardship, but his faith showed itself in strong Christian texts. After Luther and Paul Gerhard, he is one of the more important text writers represented in the German hymnal Das Evangelische Gesangbuch, which when translated means the Evangelical Songbook. Not too hard to figure out. It's interesting that Paul Gerhard is mentioned here in the information. Paul Gerhard was probably some might say the greatest Lutheran hymn writer. His life was absolutely wretchedly miserable. And he wrote some of the most beautiful, comforting hymns that you could ever ask for. 419 comes to mind. If God himself be for me, I may a hostify. Oh, 42, come your hearts and voices raising. His life was miserable, and you look at the confidence that were in his hymns, and you realize that all those troubles and difficulties really helped to refine and build up his faith. And here's another example in this particular hymn from another composer. The Klepper text has been translated by, here's another last name I've never been able to spit out correctly, Hermann G. Stumpfel, Jr., who was born in 1923 in Pennsylvania. His career was spent serving as a pastor and later as a professor of preaching. In retirement, he's remained active, and he's been a hymn writer. And there are actually 10 hymns in the supplement that he is the author or the translator of. So he's well represented in the 85 hymns that we have. This is a Welsh tune. The arrangement, the harmony, is by Ralph Vaughan Williams, probably one of the best English composers of the best known composers of the 20th century. You know his melody, For All the Saints, which gets sung at nearly every funeral here. And you may also know, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow. Those are two tunes that he's written. I never picked this at my old church. I haven't picked this since I've been here. I don't know if you know it. Let me sing a verse for you and then tell me if you know it or not. Here's a D. The night will soon be ending, the dawn cannot be far.
Let songs of praise ascending now greet the morning star. All you whom darkness frightens with guilt or grief or pain, God's radiant star now brightens and bids you sing again.
Familiar? The WLC still. You sing everything there, don't you? All right, well, let's give it a shot. Here we go. At least one and two. One, ready, go!
The night will soon be ending. The dawn cannot be far. Let songs of praise ascending now greet the morning star. All you whom darkness frightens with guilt or grief or pain, God's radiant star now brightens and bids you sing again too. The one whom angels tended comes near a child to serve. Thus God the judge offended bears all our sins deserve. The guilty need not cower, for God has reconciled through his redemption power and those who trust this child.
Let me sing for you, starting with the last note on the first page and those two phrases then that follow, because that part of the melody has thrown us off. I'll sing the first stanza one text. Here's my D.
All you whom darkness frightens with grief, with guilt or grief or pain.
Can you sing that with me, stanza one text? Go!
All you whom darkness frightens with guilt or grief or pain.
It kind of, I think once you feel confident about a hymn, you tend to like it more. So now let's do one more stanza. We got to end with five. I hope five is positive, huh? All right. Yeah, five looks good. Let's sing five. One, ready, go!
God dwells with us in darkness and makes the night as day. Yet we resist the brightness and turn from God away. But grace does not forsake us, however far we still as children through Mary's infant son.
What do you think?
I love the words.
Yeah, the words. That's what I thought too. I think I thought I might get some like halfways, but that the text is really meaty.
Yeah.
And you know, if you think about it, if you have a meaty text, mm-hmm. it kind of works best to the slightly challenging melody, mm-hmm. right? Can you sing, you could sing Thy Strong Word to a lot of different other melodies, but Thy Strong, yeah, Chuck goes, no, you can't. And that's the point, right? You kind of need that gutsy melody for that gutsy text. And this is kind of a gutsy text. The anecdote has been said, you can sing Amazing Grace to the tune of Joy to the World, but it doesn't quite, you know. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It fits, but it doesn't quite. You can sing it to the theme song of Gilligan's Island. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It works, but it doesn't quite work. So So when you have this, I mean, this is a text you can really chew. And so when you got a text like that, it makes sense that the melody is a little more challenging. And you know, it's all right if it doesn't pick up right away at first. The challenge is good. So there were some hands up that I didn't take. Yeah. Well, what you'd have to do is you go to the bottom of the page, and you see the 7676D, and D means double. So that's the pattern of syllables. And you go to the index in the supplement and the index in the hymnal, and you find the metrical index, and you see 7676D, and you look at all the hymn numbers that have that pattern, and you say, is there another tune that fits this? Because maybe you get the situation where, well, you really like this text, but there's no way this tune is going to float. That's the way you sing the text. So anyway, you can that's your homework on your own if you want to do that. We'll bypass that now. Yeah, you found one already? Which one?
Yes.
615. Da 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 da. The night will soon be ending. The dawn cannot be far. Could work. All right. So the vote is different tune, same text. All right. We'll keep that in mind. I got to get that computer program that can make me write a melody and the words underneath it, and I can stick it in the bulletin. Anyway, let's go to 707 now. The kids sang this entirely for us last week, and we are going to sing it in the New Year's Eve service. New Year's Eve is going to reinforce a couple of the songs that the kids taught us, two of the songs the kids taught us, and it's also we're going to learn another one today that we're going to sing on New Year's Eve. But 707 is one that the kids taught us last week. Peace came to earth. Jaroslav Vajda, recently deceased, 2008, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. What do you know him best for? What hymn do you know him best for?
Shepherds.
Where shepherds lately knelt, 54. I think Christmas hymn, I should have said Christmas hymn. Children of the, Where Shepherds Lately Knelt is the Christmas hymn that he's probably best known for. It's kind of funny, that came out as a choir anthem about the time I was in high school. And our Wells High Schools every fall have this big choral fest. All the schools get together at one location. Some of these kids travel quite some distance if the outlying schools in districts like ours are able to go. And they have this big concert. They've got this Pops concert on Friday night of all the show choirs doing their numbers. And then a big sacred concert with, you know, 400 kids on Sunday afternoon. And it was around that time when I think Where Shepherds Lately Knelt came out and as a choir anthem. And I think we did it at that choral fest, one of the choral fests I was a part of. And it just took off. And a lot of hymns start that way. They start off as choir anthems. And if the melody takes off, well, they show up in a hymnal. Peace Came to Earth is another example of this. This was a choir anthem that was published with a Jaroslav Vajda text and a new melody, and it took off and in various books, and it's made it into our hymnal, our supplement. Actually, there were a couple different melodies that were sort of competing to be the melody to go with this text, with these words. Again, going back to my choral fest days in high school, I remember singing an arrangement of Peace Came to Earth, but it was a melody written by Paul Mons, a Lutheran composer of the 20th century, whose music I like a lot and I play a lot. But Mons's melody didn't win. There were about three different melodies trying to be the melody for these words, and this is the one that at least won in our supplement. Vajda wrote some of his own comments on what this hymn is meant to do as a Christmas hymn. Bottom of page 2 in your handout. I was pleased to write a text that would explore more of the implications of the incarnation than are ordinarily found in Christmas texts. For example, the communion that takes place in the sacrament of the altar and the incorporation of believers into the body of Christ. One is dealing with the very essence of Christianity, in which the incarnation is absolutely essential to the world's redemption and the union of the creature with the creator and redeemer. The repetition of Emmanuel is meant to impress its literal meaning on the singer of the hymn with its numerous implications. So this is kind of a hymn that you're meant to, you know, this is like the fine wine that you smell the bouquet and you take a little sip of and you really, really ponder it, you know. This is not a hymn that you devour. This is a hymn that you really think about and ponder and chew on and such. I think the implications of Vida's words are very appropriate. You know, we couldn't celebrate Holy Communion if it weren't for the incarnation. If Jesus didn't become a flesh and blood human being, we wouldn't be doing that, receiving his body and blood. The Bible probably wouldn't have this imagery about being a part of the body of Christ if Christ hadn't taken on a body. That's a little bit of philosophizing, so take it with a grain of salt. But you can see what Vida is saying, that there's implications. The reality that Jesus became a human being has implications for so many other things that we believe, and he tries to bring this out in the hymn. You heard the kids sing it. Was it familiar when you heard it? Peace came to earth at last, that chosen night. We had some okay. Yeah. All right, well then let's dive right into it. Let's sing at least the first two stanzas, and we'll become even more acquainted with it and ready to sing it on New Year's Eve. So here's your G. Peace came to earth at last, that chosen night, when angels clothed the sky with song and light, and God embodied love and sheathed his might. Who could but gasp, Emmanuel? Who could but sing, Emmanuel? Too. And who could be the same for having held the infant in their arms and later felt the wounded hands and sighed all doubts dispelled? Who could but sigh, Emmanuel? Who could but shout, Emmanuel? Let's sing four. How else could I have known you, O my God? How else could I have loved you, O my God? How else could I embrace you, O my God? Who could but pray, Emmanuel? Who could but praise, Emmanuel? Well, what's your thoughts? High thumbs up. Mr. Bauer.
Is there a trend in writing new melodies that they are lower?
Yes. Yeah. And hymnals are generally lowering the range that hymns are in. So next Sunday, the hymn of the day is How Lovely Shines the Morning Star. It was in E flat in the old book. It's down a half a step in the current book, and I wouldn't be surprised if it went down a full step in the next book. Mm-hmm. People don't sing as much, and so people's musical ranges are lowering, and they're not as wide as they used to be, and so hymn melodies and hymnals are trying to accommodate that. So good observation, very true. Other comments in general on the hymn? That's the Sticks of Wisconsin, for those of you from California. Yeah. Professor Tiefel told us in worship class that when it comes to singing hymns, he said people don't know what they like, but they like what they know. I mean, isn't that true? You know, why were you not quite as high on the thumbs up on 705? Because the melody was harder to pick up, right? and you want to participate. And if you can't participate as confidently, it kind of takes the joy away from the participation. So what's one way to enable the participation? Get somebody to sing this stuff. Paul.
I think sometimes minor keys aren't as pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta do something to jazz up the minor key a little bit sometimes. helping people to, yeah, I know that sounds funny, doesn't it? Helping people to become comfortable with the melody, like we're doing right now, sometimes takes a hymn that might be borderline, and it helps us to sing it with more confidence and more joy as well. All right, so all of those were Advent and Christmas selections. The other ones, I believe, we sang 706 today in worship. 704, you know. 702, you know really well. So that kind of you're kind of acquainted now with the Advent and Christmas section in the supplement. I want to take two more because we're going to sing one on Christmas. We're going to sing one on New Year's Eve this week, and we're going to sing another one. I hope to sing another one in two Sundays when we celebrate Jesus' baptism on the second Sunday of January. Let's start with 708, the New Year's hymn that is in the supplement. Now greet the swiftly changing year. Jaroslav Vajda is the translator. We just talked about his hymns that are known to us. He translates from a original Czech poem. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the author's name. Any of you able to spit that out for us? But this individual studied in Wittenberg, held positions as a Protestant minister and schoolmaster at Prague, translated Lutheran chorales, wrote original hymn texts, composed new tunes, best known for this work, which earned him the nickname the Slavonic Luther. There's a title that you want to put on your mantle, huh? you know he's got Lutheran influence because the original hymn had 12 stanzas. And any good Lutheran hymn worth its salt has got to have double-digit stanzas. So, and this is a 17th century hymn recently translated. The message in this hymn speaks about joy and penitence. Each stanza ends with another year of grace, which serves as a reminder of how the Christian views each year of life, a gift of grace from a gracious and loving God. Unlike New Year hymns found in Christian worship, the hymn in stanza 2 and 3 recalls New Year's Day, which as also being a day to celebrate the name of Jesus. Why is New Year's Day the day to celebrate the name of Jesus? In some hymnals, it's listed as the circumcision of our Lord. I am frankly glad that our hymn is listed as the name or the naming of Jesus. Why is January 1st listed as that? Good thought. That's not the reason, though.
8 days after Christmas.
It's 8 days after Christmas. And what happened on the eighth day after Jesus was born? Two things. He was circumcised and named. And so since New Year's Day is really, you know, a Christ-centered festival really trumps a secular festival. So New Year's Eve, we celebrate New Year's Eve. But New Year's Day, by church calendar perspectives, is really celebrating the naming of Jesus. And the events associated with that. So verses 2 and 3 bring that in. Remember how the Son of God and how he shed his infant blood, referring to his circumcision. 2, this Jesus came to end sin's war, this name of names for us he bore. There's the naming of Jesus. And it keeps, even though it's a New Year's hymn, what I really like about this is it keeps Christmas, we're in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas, and it keeps Christmas, a Christmas perspective, not just with stanzas 1 and 2, but also stanza 6. All glory be to God on high and peace on earth, the angels cry. So there's this Christmas perspective that's woven throughout the hymn. It's a pretty singable melody. Let me sing stanza 1 for you, and then we'll give it a shot singing a few stanzas ourselves. Now greet the swiftly changing year with joy and penitence sincere. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace another year of grace. Familiar? To a few, but not too many. Let's sing a few stanzas. Let's sing at least the first three. Here we go. Ready, and. Now greet the swiftly changing year with joy and penitence sincere. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks embrace
train of names for us he bore. Rejoice, rejoice, with thanks and grace, another year of grace.
Stanza five, let's do five.
With him as Lord to lead our way, in hazard and prosperity, what need we fear in earth or space, in this new year of grace?
What do you think? All right, not too bad. So now, if you were here, you are all required to come to the New Year's Eve service and sing that well, because I am counting on the people here to help lead the congregation on New Year's Eve through this hymn. This is going to be the opening hymn on Tuesday night. We waltz through that hymn. Yeah. I try not to do that when I'm seated in the front of church, but the toe might be bouncing a little bit. Got to have some fun with it. All right, one more for sure that we're going to cover, and then I might use you as my guinea pigs to help me figure out some things with what you know in the hymnal. 7:10. It says Epiphany. This is really meant for the first Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany Day is always January 6th. We often celebrate the Sunday before because otherwise we don't celebrate it at all. So January 5th, we will celebrate Epiphany. Then January 12th, we will celebrate. The first Sunday after Epiphany is always focused on Jesus' baptism. And that's what this hymn is all about. Going to the handout, page 3, bottom of the page. The text of this hymn was penned by Stephen Starkey, a Missouri Synod pastor who currently serves in Michigan. He is definitely one of the great hymn writers of contemporary Lutheranism. If you were in worship at the 8 o'clock service, you know that in the service, instead of singing the regular version of Glory to God in the Highest, we sang a hymn paraphrase to a Christmas tune. Stephen Starkey wrote the hymn paraphrase. Our commission on worship commissioned him to take some of these traditional songs in worship, like Gloria in Excelsis, like the Sanctus, like the Song of Simeon, and rewrite them to fit common hymn melodies. And so if you go to Divine Service 2 in the front of the supplement, page 30 is Glory Be to God. Stephen Starkey wrote that. And it can be sung to a whole bunch of different melodies. Bottom of page 34 is Holy, 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 the Sanctus. Stephen Starkey wrote that. We commissioned him to do that, and it can be sung to a whole bunch of different melodies. And then the same thing on page 37, the Song of Simeon after communion. Stephen Starkey wrote these words. We commissioned him to write those as well, and we can sing them to a whole bunch of different melodies. We haven't used Divine Service too much here, and this last summer and fall we used it for non-communion services, and so then we weren't using the second half of it. But the idea is he's not only is he a good hymn writer, but we actually commissioned him to write these for us so that we could have a very flexible order of service that could be sung to all sorts of different tunes. So he's well known in our circles. Maybe you don't know him by name, but you know his stuff just from singing it in worship. He has called his hymns rhymed doctrine that is applied to the lives of the people. His hymns seek to clearly teach in an artful way what the scriptures themselves teach. This particular hymn reminds us of Jesus' baptism and its importance to every Christian. So Jesus' baptism sort of inaugurates his ministry. It's the kickoff event, if you will. And this hymn is centered around that, and that's why it will be ideal to sing in a couple of Sundays. I think we've done this before. This hymn melody goes for two hymns in the supplement. It's this hymn and, let's see if I can remember now off the top of my head. I thought it was in the 760s or the 770s. What was it?
776.
So, 776 says, sing with all the saints in glory, sing the resurrection song. And you go back to 710, it's the same exact same melody. Jesus once with his sinners numbered, had no blemish of his own. So the nice thing is you learn this one and you've actually learned two hymns, two supplement hymns. When I sang that little snippet, did that ring a bell for any of you? The WLC student and the mother-in-law, okay. Well, you've been trained well. All right, let me sing a stanza for you, and then we'll have you sing a few stanzas. So here's stanza one. Here we go. Jesus once with sinners numbered had no blemish of his own. In the waters of the Jordan his true worth and work were shown. Heaven opened and the Spirit there descended like a dove. As the Father's voice resounded, hear my Son, the one I love. Give that a shot. Let's sing at least one and two. Jesus once with sinners numbered had no blemish of his own.
John confessed him as the Savior. Look, the sinless Lamb of God. Yet he dared not to pierce the sandals of the one God's love had shod. Oh, how fair the feet of Jesus, bringing news of peace to us. Christ, the herald of salvation, preaching mercy from the cross.
Let's do one more, stanza three.
This the baptism that our Savior greatly longed to undergo. The crimson cleansing needed, so the world God's love might know. This the mission of Messiah, as he stepped from Jordan's stream. He, the chosen and anointed, Son of God sent to redeem.
After singing it three times, do you feel comfortable with it, or you feel like I'm going to need to, maybe we need to have a soloist sing stanza one in a couple weeks, and then there'll be the choir folks and the sight readers can pick it up pretty easily, but maybe that'll help to reinforce things a bit. I just have a minute or two left in my watch. Can I survey you for a few things? I can take the red hymnals out. The Christmas section starts at 33 with Luther's Christmas tune, All praise to you, eternal God, now clothed in human flesh and blood. Is that familiar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm getting 50-50. All right. That's not quite the one, that's not the only one I was wondering about, but it's actually not the section I wanted to really focus on. There are some, a little bit later on in the 48. It's easy, but I don't know if we've sung it before. Can I have a B flat?
When Christmas morn is dawning, I wish that I could be.
Is that familiar to any of you?
She can sing it in Spanish.
Yeah. Well, you're the soloist now to sing it.
There you go.
This is a really beautiful, gentle Christmas tune, and I just wasn't sure if we knew it. Can we sight read it through as a group best you can? One, ready, go.
When Christmas morn is dawning, I wish that I could be there by the manger cradle, God's newborn son to see. There by the manger cradle, God's son newborn to see.
It would help if the preacher sang the right words. Now, is that now, does it ring any more bells? Not for everybody, but for some. But it seems like one you could throw at a congregation and it wouldn't be too difficult to pick up after a while, especially if the choir did one. 51. This is kind of fun. This is another one that makes you want to waltz. Okay. I am so glad when Christmas comes, the night of Jesus' birth, when Bethlehem's star shone as the sun and angels sang on earth.
I'm guessing that,
all right, the Peterson, good. There's a certain group of hymns that I...
Norwegian.
That's the thing, it's the Norwegian tradition, which has made it into our hymnal, but... German Lutherans don't know these Norwegian tunes, so we're afraid to pick them, or at least I'm afraid to pick them. But I don't want to be afraid to pick them. I want you to know them. Let's sing a couple stanzas of this one. One and two.
I am so glad when Christmas comes, the night of Jesus' birth, when Bethlehem's star shone as the sun and angels sang on earth.
Be hard to do anymore with those bells ringing. Do you know 58?
See in yonder manger low born for us.
We know that one?
Yep.
Yes, I've seen more yeses than noes, but I'm seeing some noes. I'd love to sing that one, but again, I've been afraid to pick it because I didn't know if we knew it or not. So this will help. Now, if I can just remember this 12 months from now, this will be great. But seriously, it's nice to have this casual, informal setting to just kind of sing through some hymns, get to know them, and also it's useful feedback for me. So I appreciate your time, appreciate your voices, and you all have to come on New Year's Eve and help us sing the ones that we learned tonight. So have a good week. We'll see you either at 10:45 if you came for that, or we'll see you Tuesday night if you came at the early one.
There's no room in the nursery suite.
Okay. Well, you see, when they were younger, they used to be in the nursery. And so we make them stay for a second, but now we don't.